Blog Talk Radio.
That song never gets old to me. I love that song. What a great song. How you doing, Phoenix?
I'm good, brother. I'm really good. I feel blessed to be sitting in a chair communicating with you and having the privilege of reaching out to so many people in our wonderful audience. Man, it's a blessing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And here we go, another week. I mean, it just, they come around so quickly. I can't believe it. It is something else. And so time really can fly. Man, oh, man. So I also wanted to say, thanks for always being here and sharing out with us, even when we have topics such as this one today, which is a little rough. But it's can we remain friends with our exes, you know? And that topic, when it came to me, I was when someone shared it with me, I forgot who it was, but You know, sometimes things would just, things are just put on our plate, and I not necessarily do I have a problem with it, or do I not have a problem with it. It's just something that needs to be talked about for some other, some of our other friends and listeners and stuff, because I do have some friends that are good with that and some of my friends are not good with it. And so let's just talk about it a little bit. And so I'll start off by saying, you know, I believe that I need to be civil with my ex if if we have children. I think that, you know, it's important to me that, you know, if you like with my, I do have an ex-wife, right? So she's not just an ex-girlfriend, because some people never been married, and some people don't even believe in getting married. They just, you know, have a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a man or a roommate or whatever they call it. They're together, and they never, you know, go to that, you know, but they're still an ex.
Next level.
They never go to the next level. So, I just believe that it, you know, we start, like, I was attracted to you in the beginning. And then after I got past the attraction part where I got to hang out with you a little bit, I liked you. And I wanted to continue to pursue you. And so I did. And so, but as we got deeper into our relationship, I started seeing things that I didn't like. And since you weren't willing, or we couldn't figure out how to fix those things without it being a problem for us, because me not liking it and you getting tired of me complaining about it, instead of us being able to fix it, we decided to go our separate ways. I think that we should be able to do that in a civil way and just be cool. But it really depends on how much damage was created in this process, because everyone's entitled to their feelings. You can't take that away from anyone. And so if you're in a relationship with someone and you're trying to destroy them as you're leaving, I mean, I don't see any way for me to have a relationship with you after. It's nothing. You're not even trying to make it a possibility that we can continue to just be friends, because you or me, whoever it is in that relationship, is doing everything in their power to make it not happen by being destructive. And sometimes people leave, and they leave very bitterly. They're very angry and they're mad, and sometimes they're mad because the person, you know, like my ex would be angry that I was always saying, you need to stop drinking, you need to stop doing this, you need to stop doing that. It's like, hey, who do you think you're? And so they would be angry at that, and then they would just move on. It's like, I don't want to deal with you, you're just full of this and full of that, right? And so also I've been in a situation where my ex would call my friends and tell my friends things that was private between us, because they were trying to hurt me, that they were trying to destroy me. I mean, I don't want to be a friend with you after that. Like, you don't have any integrity, like, you know. And so that's I can understand why some people don't want to be in a relationship like that with anyone, because of, you know, that type of experience. I can understand why you don't want to be friends with your ex. But I just think that if you have children, you know, you need to try to have at least a civil relationship, so that the kids are not hurt by it any more than they already are, and so that you can, you know, continue to parent your child in a good way, you know, by saying, no, don't disrespect your mom. She's always going to be your mom. Don't disrespect your dad. He's always going to be. If we could do that, it'd be better for the children. So that's the civil part that I'm always thinking about, Phoenix. Your thoughts on that?
Wow, what a mouthful. As you were speaking and expounding upon your personal experiences thus far, I was vacillating between neutrality and transparency. And what I mean by that is I decided that at least I would share this with my audience because I think life is a teaching moment in every moment that we go through. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's important to be able to look at yourself in a constructive manner, no matter what you think the personal inferences are. And in my case, and Wardell is aware of it, I am currently going through a divorce. So this is a particularly interesting subject. I wouldn't say it's a sore paw, but it's something that I've spent a tremendous amount of time pondering over. And I usually come up with that life has no dress rehearsals. And I like to consider myself, as I've said in the past, as a spiritual man. I like to consider myself as a fair man. I was raised by a wonderful woman, my mother, and she was just, to me, the best classic example of everything anybody could ever hope for in a mother. She was just wonderful, soft-spoken. She would never cuss or swear. She was always willing to hear my side. And I usually try to do things, whatever I'm doing, even though she's passed over 12 years ago, that I would feel would be pleasing to her. So that has a footing and a platform for me. This subject, can you be friends with your ex? And without getting into all the gory details, in my particular situation, no. There's too much water under the bridge and there's too much negative things that has occurred from her side that was very difficult for me to digest. A word that I rarely use, emasculation, is a word very few people use within the common vernacular, but I felt, for me, violated by those things, having a pretty high moral compass above and beyond my spiritual inclinations. And right. So the reason that we're pursuing an ex relationship is because I was asked the question several times, could it be fixable? In my particular case, no. Sometimes you cross the bridge on the other side of Macedonia, so to speak, and the bridge collapses. So you can't go back over the bridge you just crossed. But that doesn't mean that I would paint with a broad stroke that all ex relationships are the same, because I've known many of my associates and buddies or colleagues throughout time that share a wonderful experience above and beyond whether or not they have kids or not. They're amiable to one another. They meet with their new counterparts. This takes a pretty open-minded view of a relationship. But again, it's particular to the circumstance. And so it is good and perhaps even therapeutic to talk about it and to know yourself well, to know your boundaries well, to know whether or not you're even fundamentally capable of, you know, working with that construct. You know, are there loose feelings still connected? Like you mentioned, Wardell, are you mad? You know, are you mad or are you glad? I mean, are you glad that you're deciding to go in a different direction? In my case, I wish the best for her. I always, you know, look at the human experience the same way. Friend, foe, enemy, colleague. I never try to see the worst in people. I always try to see the best in people. I always try to remain neutral. And being a marriage counselor, I always look at what did you participate and what did you bring to the table, which is the reason you arrived at this situation. I'm pretty straightforward. You know, to know me is to love me. To love me is to know me. I'm the kind of person that has the ability to express himself at such a level that you know what you're dealing with. I will make it known to you. I've been accused by some of my best buddies as being super transparent. And I love being me. I really do. I'm comfortable in my skin. I know what I want. I know what I want in a relationship. I know what I'm willing to accept. I really work hard at being non-judgmental, which I think is something worthy to underscore in this discussion. It's so easy to be judgmental. It's so easy to point the finger. It's so easy to blame the other person. But you have to take responsibility, as I have. What did I contribute to this particular situation to why I am now her ex? And once you get over yourself, once you get out of the way of yourself, and you have a reasonable evaluation, I think we spoke about that in previous discussions, a self-examination of who you are. And like Mr. Wardell always mentions, you are honest with yourself and you pay attention to the roadmap of a tapestry of your particular circumstance. Then and only then can you begin to repair you. Because if you can't repair you, you can't find yourself in a situation where you can be loving to someone else. So there is a process that you go through, that you question everything that you did, and you have to be honest with yourself, if nobody else, to your friends and family or foe, why did I get here? And then based on the conclusionary measures, then you have to decide, moving forward, would I want to continue having this person in my life on a friendship level? And in my case, no. Capital no. I'm making a clean break. I want to travel. I want to meet new expectations. And my ex accused me, she said very skillfully, oh, it's all or nothing with you, because she wants to continue having me in her life. But personally, in my particular case, I have classified it as you want to use what I brought to the table as a mate. And I'm too old to be used. If you're going to use me right. So I said a lot. There's a lot of meat and potatoes there. Wardell, you could pick up from, you could pick up the pieces from there, my friend.
Well, you know, I thought it was very interesting if you said, if you're going to use me right. And that means if you're going to use me in a way that is okay with me.
Yes, absolutely. Because
right.
We all use everything.
Yeah.
We use people. That's a normal thing. But we don't want to do it where it's too one-sided or destructive. Yeah. To
right.
me, there's a balance. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, I just want people to know if that's an expectation of yours, as you may see yourself falling out of love with the one that you love, I think the most important thing to do is to pay attention to how you treat this person as you're going out, because if you want them to be a friend or if you want something from them when this is over, then it really, a lot of it depends on how you treat them and how we, you know, how we treat each other. You know, so.
But if I could just jump in for a minute. Listen, if I could just jump in for a minute on the friend thing, because I think that's a narrative worth underscoring. Friend means different things to different people. And for me, in my limited understanding of friends, or a friend is somebody that you've reached a mutual level of understanding. When your basic core values intertwine, and that person shares a common denominator with you. When I think of a friend, like as you, Wardell, I mean, you know, we're sometimes limited because of our busy schedule. But I know if I call you and I say, hey, Wardell, I have a problem, probably the first thing is you're going to say, hey, man, what's up, Phoenix? I mean, you're open to hear what your friend has to say. And that means that you're flexible. And even though we may have differences of understanding and opinion, you're willing to hear whatever my need is at that particular time. And my dad used to say, a friend in need is a friend indeed. So we have to first define, before we move on with our ex, is there a common denominator? Is there things that we can coexist? Do we have a similar understanding on similar things that make us a friend? Because I'm sure there are people that we unfriend, like within social media, and we say, you know what? I seen some things that you did, like with the Chris Brown situation with the other singer. A lot of people unfriended him because they say, you know what? I love your singing. I love who you are, but I can't get past what you did to Rihanna. So I have to unfriend you. We're no longer. I'm not trying to pick on him. But you say to yourself, because of this monumental thing that you did, we can no longer be considered friends. Okay? Some people unfriend people because of their political, oh, you like Trump. I didn't like Trump. I like Trump. You didn't. I'm unfriending you because you feel that you no longer, you cease to coexist in this framework or construct, right? So friend and ex-friend, this is where the crossroads meet. And I think it's worthy of our discussion today to look at it. Like, what do you want in a friend? And can we coexist from this point forward? That's where it gets interesting to me.
Yeah, because I think that we friends naturally have a common understanding of what they want from each other. They don't have to say it. It's just it's something that goes without saying. But you have those moments of shock. Like I have friends that they weren't long time friends. They were just friends that I met along the way in my journey, and I liked them. Mm-hmm. And maybe I've known them for 17, you know, maybe 20 years, and I really liked them. We hung out and did a lot of things together, and but then all of a sudden, like you mentioned, the Trump thing came up, and they defriended me. Right. I mean, and not basically saying, you know, hey, I don't want to be your friend anymore. It's just that I'm apolitical. I don't do politics. I don't care about it.
Me neither.
And I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear about it. As a Christian, God's in control, and I'm going to do whatever my spirit tells me to do, not what man tells me to do, and definitely not what a politician tells me to do. So
right.
Neutrality
is a beautiful thing. I exist in that world. That's a beautiful thing to me.
Right. And so, and to me, politics and some other things pull us apart. But in the Bible, God wants us to come together, just like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Together,
and even racial divide. It's not just politics.
Right.
It can be racial divide.
Oh, right.
Some people don't like you because of the way you look. That's like crazy to me. But social mores and conditioning can alter one's perception.
Anything that divides us to me is a no-no for me. And so I try to stay away from those things. So when my friend understood that's how I felt, and my friend, the reason why I say friends, because they are a couple, and when they understood that I didn't put politics in front of anything, God is first. See, because I try to tell people, politics is something we do, but a Christian is who I am, and so.
Right.
But it's just something I would do, like go to the grocery store. And it's not that important to me. It's just something I do. So I just so when my friends realized that that was my position, they faded away. And so, and it just breaks my heart because this is, I think, the key. My level of love for you was totally different than your level of love for me. And you don't know that until we're in a storm. And I'm fighting for something that you're not even fighting for. And then I'm confused as to, like, wait a minute. But I thought we loved each other. What are you, why are you not fighting for this?
That's interesting. What? You know, that's very interesting. And I wanted to just say something at this juncture. You know, simple thing like a meal together. I feel that good friends, at least within the framework of my understanding, though limited, is being able to break bread with a friend. If I consider you a friend, then I want to have you over for a meal. I want to invite you out to dinner. And there's so much that can be learned from that environment. You sit down, and the waiter comes and asks what you'd like. I find that you like wine. You want to drink a scotch. You don't like liquor. You like fish. You can't eat fish. You have an allergy to it. And there's this discussion that ensues. But one of the things that's a friendship faux pas for me is if I go out to dinner with you and you have nothing to say. There's no contribution of discussion. Mum's the word. And we got into the whole phone faux pas and etiquette. And I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about you have more things to say to the waiter. And you're very particular. Oh, does the fish have this? Is it MSG? And do you have that? And is it salt? And could you put a little more chives? And could you? I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to poison us with the food. Because you're already a problem. And I'm looking at the waiter. I'm like, not me. It's her. Or vice versa. So what I'm saying is that breaking bread is a huge prerequisite for me to call you a friend. And so if my experience with you over a protracted period of time, which is how we became exes, that I can't break bread with you and there's no conversation, there's not like, hey, dog, how was your day? Here's a bone. Anything. Mum's the word. Your nose is up in the air. All you want to do is frustrate the waiter. Then you call over the owner. And you complain that the fish was cooked too hard, I'm wanting to drill myself under the seat because I don't like being rude like that to people, you see. So to me, in the friendship game, okay, now it's over. There's no more love. We don't hate each other. But would I break bread with you again? Absolutely not, because there is no – you know, there's a certain humanity in sitting down with a friend and exchanging thoughts about the day. Oh, you know, my job. Oh, you know, Willie got married. Oh, Sarah. Oh, my goodness. Did you hear about the latest on that? Something. But if there's zero, mum's the word, that's a deal breaker for me. I've experienced that. And so that's one of the things that separates me from a friend to a non-friend zone, if that's a thing. It's very important to break bread and enjoy the person that I'm with. Man, that's everything to me.
Mm-hmm.
One of life's simple pleasures. Would you agree?
Oh, mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, you know, just getting back to, so can we be friends? How does that work? You know, I mean, and so, and the bottom line is that we can be friends. And in some situations, we can't. In some situations,
we won't be friends.
We won't be friends because
we refuse to take
this. I don't
mean to laugh, brother, but that's just.
Right. Yeah, but we won't.
No, I'm just laughing because you operate on so much love that it just, I think that's just everything to you. You're like, I love you. You're my best friend, you know. But and you say, can we be friends? Yeah, we could still be friends. Where I'm a little darker. I'm like, no, we can't. You violated this. You violated the trust issue. You violated the breaking of the bread, which is huge for me because I love to break bread with a friend. And I no longer feel comfortable sitting down and having a meal. I'm counting sheep backwards. And I'm like, why am I here? So that's huge for me. If I can't break bread with you. And you know what? You could be a vegetarian. You could say, you know what? I don't eat meat and you eat meat. I'm cool with that. No problem. I won't judge you. Hopefully you won't judge me. So that's not even a deal breaker. But if there's no conversation, it's hard
to
get past
that one. So what I'm saying is that we can be friends. See, it's always, we could always do these things, but we have to take responsibility into making it happen. If you don't take the responsibility in making it happen, like you can be whatever you want. You can be a doctor if you want. You can grow up in the hood and grow up to be the president of the United States if you want. But you have to take the responsibility to make that happen.
Sure.
And if you're with someone and you see that the ship is not quite going to go where you expected, your destination has made a turn, you could choose to be civil and do the right thing and have a conversation with the person and do it respectfully, and hopefully they will respond equally in terms of, you know, wanting to dissolve this in a good way.
I get
way,
that.
Then you could. But if
I get
you
that,
don't,
but I'm I get that, Wardell, but I'm kind of like my mom. My mom was non-confrontational. I'm non-confrontational. I don't feel like I got to pull a discussion out of you. That's not my responsibility. We're adults. And my thing is, if I feel encumbered upon the fact that, yeah, have you ever been in a conversation with somebody, you're doing all the talking and they're doing all the listening, but you don't feel the love? Then I'm going to excuse myself because I don't like to be in an uncomfortable situation unnecessarily. I'm not saying if I find myself in there, I won't be cordial. Of course I will. But what I'm saying is, as we're talking about exes, and so to come back to the discussion at hand, as we segue from lovers to exes, I have to be able to look at things in a very productive fashion. And I have to say to myself, I don't want to be in this person's company because there's no company. So I wouldn't put myself in the friend zone with them anymore. Would I conduct business with them? Probably not. Because if you don't express yourself being an expressive person, what are you concealing? So these things flower into various avenues that has separated us from the first place. And then if I see you, like I mentioned, talking more to the waiter and you're more confrontational about the food and take it back and it's too cold, or, oh, the salmon didn't have this or that, I'm incensed, because what you're demonstrating is another aspect of the lack of friendship mode is a complaintive spirit. Instead of saying, you know, I've had salmon at a better place or whatever, but you know what? Just for the sake of us enjoying each other's company, let me not make this an issue. So these are another thing that separates us. That's all I'm saying. I brought up food because many people today are foodies. That's a huge thing in the dating process, you know. It comes down to, I've had people say, well, I'm a vegetarian. If you eat meat, I couldn't bear to be with you, and you sunk your teeth in a piece of chicken. Oh, my God, that was a bird. So I'm like, okay, really? But that's just a big thing,
well,
I think, in the friendship zone.
Yeah,
I can't think of anything else that trumps that. We did mention politics. That does separate people, too. And I agree with what you were saying about that, Wardell. I mean, I remain neutral. I really do.
Yeah.
I remain neutral. Culturally, I don't judge people. So I love all my brothers and sisters around the world, black, white, blue, purple, green. It doesn't. I'll sit down with the Hulk and have a sandwich. It's no problem. Hey, bro, you're a little green. Did you break up that building? Really? Let's talk about it.
I mean,
no issue. You know, none. But being an ex and breaking up with an ex, I think life has no dress rehearsals. You have to self-evaluate. You have to know what you're comfortable with. You have to be comfortable within your own skin. And if at all possible for me, I avoid conflict like the plague, like the pandemic. If I know that you're going to be a person of conflict, I'm going to avoid you. If you're the kind of person that just wants to... Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Do you think that a person like me that wants to reach out and try to see if there's a possibility, because some people don't have, they want something, but they don't have the skills. They don't know how to, you know, to say, you know what, I'm sorry. I screwed up, and I really don't want to lose you as a friend. I just don't know how to fix this. I am who I am. I'm not good at this. But and then you got the other side of it where I have so much value for that person that I don't want to lose them either, right?
Right.
Do you think that a person like that, which is like me, is a glutton for punishment?
No. You know, that fits the framework of who – you know, when I think of Wardell Potts, I think of a guy that's oozing, glowing, and flowing with love overflowing. That's just who you are. That's part of your ministry. That's part of your vernacular. That's part of your disposition. That's who you are. And you're to be commended. I love you for that. I mean, you're a great guy. You're a great friend. You're all of those things. But in the tapestry or framework of relative understanding across a broader scope, there are different people, as the expression comes, different strokes for different folks. I'm also a very loving person. I'm probably – lately I've been hearing this expression, don't overthink it. I heard that yesterday about a half a dozen times. Don't overthink it. Don't overthink it. And after a while,
what
it
does that mean?
Funny. I said, don't overthink is kind of – well, it's to get out of your way. You know, I think of
steady
meeting
wrong,
someone –
wrong.
No. I'm pretty cerebral, so I'll think about it. I'll think about the person. I'll think about possible conditions, possible variables within those conditions. And somebody says, you know what? You're way too heady. Don't overthink it. Just go with the flow, even if it's a decision you make.
That's the same as steady long, steady wrong, I think.
Steady long, steady long. I've never heard that one. But don't overthink
steady long,
it. I'm
steady
sure.
Wrong.
Oh, steady wrong. Oh, got you.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Sometimes when people steady too much, they kind of get in their own way. You steady, you got to make.
Yeah,
you know,
I can see that.
Yeah.
That's a variable of it, but I do tend to sometimes overthink it. That's a problem or a part of my framework. I'm a musician, and one of the things that helps me to evolve as a musician is that I look at patterns when I write songs. I can be galvanized in certain formulaic formulas that help me to arrive at what a hit record is to me. And relationships. Huh?
I'm sorry.
What did you say?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no. Well, what I'm saying is I look at patterns, and if I see, let's say on one occasion, two occasion, you were complaintive. Three occasion, four occasion, you were complaintive. We get into a conversation, and your inferences are based on negative complaints. And then I'll try to be a little Wardell Potts and say, you know what, let bygones be bygones, and let's be sweethearts, and here's a hug or a kiss. No, but la, 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 woo, 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 which is back to the negative inference. Then you're setting up a pattern for me, And in my non-confrontational approach, I'm like, if I continue down this road with this individual, there's going to be more confrontational circumstances, because this is the pattern that's been established. We spoke about it. I tried to underscore what the situation is. I tried to make amends. I tried to look at a positive avenue. But you want to continue to go down that road. My choice then becomes, do I want to continue down that road with you? I'm an adult. I'm an older person now. I just don't want drama in my life, like Mary J. Blige, you know. No more drama. I want to pursue peace. I want to be in the company of people that want to break bread and be peaceable. I don't want to get, like you said, into political discussions. I don't want to be too complaintive. Like even the scripture says, you know, God does not like a complaintive spirit. I can relate now because I'm older. I'm a little more reserved and conservative. I just want to love and be loved in return, reciprocally.
Okay,
I don't want to find myself.
So if you're that kind of person, you just want to be loved.
That's it.
You want to love and be loved in return, right?
In return.
But
I don't want the complications of negative discussion. That's what it is,
right?
Basically,
right. But so if you don't get love in return, then you're like done.
It's not that cut dry. I think I'm very flexible. I take that from my dad wasn't, but my mother was very flexible. You know, I remember, you know, I used to go to school and I used to do something really stupid. And my mother would, you know, she would question me, well, why did you do that? And she would listen and she was very, and so I often referenced to her because she was so palatable. Even when I did something dumb and my dad was ready to kill me, my mom was willing to listen to my side. And I tried to apply that in my relationships. I tried to apply, you know, their particular reasoning. I tried to take on, well, they might say, well, you don't understand me. And that's a typical one. Well, what is it? Could you help me understand? Is there something, am I missing something? I do tend to be a little logical. Is there something I'm missing? Because I would do anything to fix it. I'm not one of these hard, fast, typical males. Okay, you crossed over and that's it. No. It takes a minute, you know, for me. If I cut a so-called friend off, most of my friends have said, I don't know what that person did. But knowing you, if you're no longer willing, man, they must have really messed up because they've experienced, hey, Phoenix, I know I've done some pretty dumb things with you and you always took me back in. And so if you're telling me, and I don't have to know all the gory details because I know you, that you walked away from this individual, I'll tell you one thing, they did something pretty bad. And that's pretty much the truth. So, yeah, I am flexible to a point, but there comes to a point, what I would say, of diminishing returns. And I'm not going to continue running up in a wall and hitting myself and saying my head is harder than the wall. What does the expression go? They say, if you continue to do the same thing and you expect different results, then you're basically crazy. And so I kind of
let me just run the scenario by you then. So a person, you know me, I'm a little cuckoo. I'm always chasing optimism. I'm always looking
for the... I know you are.
The,
you're an extreme optimist. Yes.
So I had a friend, and I really wanted. We've been friends 40 years. I could not find him. He wasn't answering his phone. I knew he was fine, and when I would see him, we would hug and hey, all that stuff. And then once he leave, he wouldn't answer his phone anymore. And I was like, "What's wrong? What's your idea? What is wrong? What is, you know?" And I chased him and I chased him. And then I couldn't stop chasing him. And then I started calling, you know, different people, please help me. I don't understand. I want to know. I want, see, I'm chasing a relationship. I'm chasing it because there's some value there to me, and I don't want to lose that relationship.
A little compulsive,
it's very valuable.
You don't mind me saying, but a little, like, and you said yeah. it, you're kind of a little compulsive. I couldn't do that personally. Nope.
Right. But
it comes to the point of diminishing returns.
But right. But so let me just finish. So I'm chasing this relationship mm-hmm. because it has value to me, and I'm thinking this person just, they just don't get how much I care about them. And so, and I'm chasing, and then come the next thing I know, the person passes away. And I'm like, why? You know, and then I started thinking months later, like, maybe that's why I was chasing them. Because I was trying to get...
Well, here lies the expression that was coined, don't overthink it. Because the fact that he passed away has nothing to do with you chasing him. That was something that was pertinent and specific to him. It doesn't necessarily correlate or connect to you. I do understand your spiritual inclination, but... You know, you said something or I said something, not sure who said it, but in terms of reciprocating, you can't love someone who doesn't want to love you back. Even the creator, if you want to go there, the spirit says, listen, God loves those who approach him, who come to him. But if you don't approach God, he may send you a few signs, but God's not going to chase you. The prodigal son is a classic example of the creator that did not chase after the wayward child that left home. Classic aggression.
That's a little different. That's a little different because...
No, it isn't. It isn't because in the prodigal son, the child became wayward and decided to go off into the world and live a debauched life. If you notice, the creator, which he identifies, that was the Most High God. That analogy was him. And he stepped out of the compound, and he looked around the bend up the road, but he never chased him. He allowed his son to go off into the world and lead a debauched life. And he did not go after him. He allowed him to be a free moral agent. But when he returned, that's when lost his mind.
Hold away. No. You skip the part in the middle is the most important part.
What?
He was every day he would look for his son and yearn for his son and wish that he would come.
But he didn't chase him.
But he still was yearning for his child. But go ahead.
And that's okay. You can yearn, but chasing is different. I think in your particular case, as in your own admissions, you said, I'm chasing. I'm not going to chase somebody like that. You know, even my children, they want to go off into the world and they want to. I used that with other spiritual men and they had to concur and agree. I said, that's the prodigal son. If they want to go off into the world and do whatever they want to do, they're free moral agents. That's the point of the matter. And they have to be you have to be willing to let them go. But if you're not willing to let them go, then it becomes a horse of a different color. And we can go around Robinson Bond, and I don't want to turn it into a scriptural discussion, but I just utilize that scripture to demonstrate that sometimes we just have to let them go into the world and do what they do. And not my word I hung up on was chase. God never chased anybody. He doesn't have to. He allows us to be who we are, and he allows us to come to him on his terms when we're ready. He's inflexible. He allows us to come back to him. He says, if you turn away from him, then he's not with you. You can continue to go, but you have to turn around and walk back to him. That's the point. That's all I'm saying. Ideologically into the discussion of that. That's the only reason why I went there.
Right. Well, I think that it's important that you have different types of people in the kingdom, different types of ministers that share the word of God. You know, there's loving ministers that always talk about the optimistic side. Then there's ministers that will tell you, scare you to death. You go, how God's going to punish you. You know, and so you have these. And then, you know, and you're more of a...
Which I totally don't agree. I totally don't agree with shaming somebody at that level because the Christ was approachable. He was very... And that gives religion to me a bad name. I know a lot of people. Quick story. I went to a funeral with one of the oldest members in my community. She was like a surrogate mother to me. And she was from the Catholic faith. And she sat all the way in the back, and she was such a wonderful lady. And I asked her, I said, Moms, why are you sitting in the back? And she said, you know, she had a couple of children out of wedlock, and they always, like, excommunicated her. And I was like, huh? I felt so bad because she was up in age, and I held on to her, and I stayed with her, and I comforted her. I don't believe that we should beat up people with God's word or make people feel bad. We have to be approachable. The scripture even says is to sign them honor and dignity. Even if they're a wrongdoer, even without children, I have said to them, listen, I don't like what you did. In fact, I hate what you did. You did something really bad, but I don't hate you. I love you. I think what you did was bad, and we have to bridge the gap. So I separate the fact that I love them, and I'm always going to be your dad, and I'm always going to be here for you, but I don't condone. Like, if you murdered somebody, I hate the fact that you murdered somebody. I will never condone you taking a life for any reason, but I still love you, and I still want to give you a road back to me if you should choose so, but I'm not going to chase you. If you want to stay away from me, that's your choice. You're a free moral agent, and I believe that's what the Christian credo is. And when people promote other things, or they shame people, or they make you feel embarrassed, and it's not loving to me personally.
Yeah, it actually goes against everything right there. That's why I think in terms of religion,
a lot of people don't even like to discuss religion because they've been scorned, they've been slapped, they've been hurt, they've been beaten, they've been stepped upon. And then when you read about the Christ, he was the most, even other faiths like Mahatma Gandhi, who was an Indian leader. I never forget the passage that I read historically about Mahatma Gandhi. And he said, the day that your people and my people just followed the Sermon on the Mount, we wouldn't even have all this political unrest. And he was a man that wasn't even Christian. How huge that was for him to say that. So it's just certain things are right and certain things are wrong. We're talking about exes. We're talking about if we could remain friends with an ex. And I think sometimes we have to weigh in personally on our moral compass. Hey, if you're a kind of person that likes to steal and murder and you justified it and you think it's okay and I'm your friend and you make it aware, hey, you know what? On Saturday nights, I like going out mugging people and you bring that to my attention. I'm going to be like, hey, man, why do you feel that way? Hey, could we rectify that? Could we change that? But if you continue to say, I want to justify that I like to go out on Saturday nights and mug people, then I can't be a friend of yours. I can't even break bread with such a man. I'm not going to judge you. Hey, let the authorities deal with you. But what I'm saying is, if you expose to me something that steps out of the moral compass and you make it known to me, and I know we're living in a world where almost anything goes, I have to make the decision to detour, get off the bus. Gus, I can't go down that road with you. I don't even like to be in company with people who cuss and swear and fuss and point fingers at people of different cultures. If you make that known to me and I try to rectify that within a wholesome discussion. Why do you feel that way? Was it your upbringing? Was it this? Was it that? No, I just hate them because, you know. Okay, cool. Unfriend, I'm out. I can't do it. And I'm not going to change you. I'm not that guy. I'm not going to try to run after you and make you feel like, oh, this is my responsibility because I'm a minister. Mm-mm. I can't personally. Thank God for Wardells of the world, because that's not Phoenix. I do know how to hold it, fold it, let it go. Sometimes you got to know when to hold it and when to let it go. And somebody, somebody made the statement. If somebody tells you they're a certain way, watch this. Believe them. Believe them. If somebody tells you something about themselves and you go, I never thought you were like that, believe them. Believe them.
Listen.
Because you can avoid so much problems.
Yeah.
I'm too old for that right now, Wardell. I mean, I'm 63 years of age. I'm in good condition. People say I'm reasonably handsome, and I appreciate that. I'm not the best, but I'm not the worst. I just want to find somebody in my next journey that's going to love me and accept me for who I am. So, yes, this particular subject is a little... but I'm trying to be as neutral as possible. I'm trying to say, you know what? I'm open. I told one of my buddies that I want to be married again. And he was like, no way, man, enjoy your life. I'm saying, keep your advice to yourself. I love the constitution of marriage. I love coming home to one woman. I love breaking bread with somebody that I can share those intimate realities with. I love that. I was married for 30 years, man. I loved being married. I think that's a beautiful thing. I don't like being single. I don't like being by myself. I went to the movies the other day by myself. I went out to dinner by myself. Mm-hmm. And it was depressing. I said, I'm a reasonable guy. I wish I was with a young lady. I could just hold her hand. I could just, can we kiss? Can we cuddle? I'm not your typical male, bro. I love being married. I love it. And I know somebody said it to me today. Hey, you're gonna find love again because that's who you are. I want that. But I'm not gonna argue with you. I'm not gonna talk politics with you. I'm not gonna talk about things that are incestuous or things that step outside of my moral compass. Once those things become known to me, and I've given you an opportunity to come clean or rectify or make an adjustment or at least show flexibility, and that's not your style, then I have to part my ways. And that's for me, and I'm not promoting that for anybody else. I think within the confines of this discussion, I think it's a personal thing. I think it's something that people have to self-evaluate. You have to know who you are. You have to be comfortable in your skin. You have to know in the end of the day, what do you stand for? Because if you don't stand for something, you fall for anything.
Mm.
That's my particular credo. I want to stand for something. I want to, even though my mother's passed away, I want to do things that I know she would be proud of, to say, my son's a good man. I stand for that. My creator, my relationship with him. You know, the scripture says, don't even break bread with such a man that wants to be a menace to society. You want to go out and rob and steal and murder and deflect and hurt people because of their ethnicities or whatever, whatever, and you make that known, nope, I cannot be your friend. I can't. I could be your associate.
Yeah.
I could be your colleague. But your friend is an intimate reality. I think maybe I have 5 friends. And my dad told me years ago, if a man can find one good woman to call his wife and one good friend that he could put his back up to, consider yourself very fortunate. I don't believe everybody's your friend. You have associates, you have colleagues, you have people that you're in contact with, but a friend to the end? We could have a discussion just on friends. That's a whole other story.
All right. Yeah, well, I want to thank you, brother.
Sorry
thank
for being
so much.
Impassionate, but I am, Wardell, sorry for being so impassionate,
no,
but I'm going to the thick of it at this point. And I feel good, Wardell, to be able to share this with my listening audience, because I think to be transparent, particularly as a man, to expose your I don't want to say infidelities, but just who you are and what you're going through. It's a teaching moment. I hope someone can learn from my own experience that there is a way out of the jungle when you go through a situation with your ex. You have to self-evaluate. You have to determine where you guys fell off the rails. You have to understand your own moral compass, what you will accept, what you will reject, and then you got to stand behind those decisions. Don't just be somebody's doormat for their punishment because, oh, I love them, or we had at one point or another. There comes to a point that you hit the fork in the road, and you have to know when to hold it or when to let it go and to make a turn. That's
Amen.
My sense.
So I love it. And stand for something or fall for what?
You'll either stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
You have to say, you know, in your credence, in your responsibility as a human being, you have to stand for what you believe. And
yes.
You can't let – that's an inalienable right, and that goes beyond race, color, creed, religion, politics. It's just in the end of the day, the core of who – like, we kid and we laugh. You're a very loving person, and I commend you, my brother. You – man, you'll go to the ends of the earth. You was even chasing this guy because you wanted to love him. But the fact of the matter is that he had a responsibility to reciprocate. And when somebody tells you that they're not willing to love you back as much as you're loving them, stand and deliver and receive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trust.
Well, oh, yeah. It's all good. I will – my heart is broken forever with that situation because I didn't get to have closure. But it's okay. God's in control. God's in control, not me. And God will make me understand, you know. And thank you for sharing what you shared. That really that helped as well. And so I like talking to my Christian brothers and sisters. You know, you get little bits and pieces from God for you guys. So thank you so much, man. It really blessed me. And thanks for hanging out today. Man, you said a lot more than you thought you were going to say.
I sure did. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, and I just to my own defense, I really thought whether or not I would share this with the listening audience, and then I thought it would be selfish of me to conceal something that I'm actually experiencing that could be a teaching moment. You know, I am a man that has confidence. I am a man who's comfortable in his skin. I am a man that takes responsibilities for his actions as a spiritual person. And my ex was not a spiritual person. We wasn't even of the same faith. But I never judged her for that. I even did research and brought certain things to her attention about her own faith that she didn't even know. And I'm happy in the end of the day that I am me, because I have to be me, because everybody else is already taken.
Amen.
You know, that's just a fact. That's just
it's
a fact,
fair.
Man.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, thank you, brother.
Yeah.
God
always,
bless you.
Always, Wardell. I mean, and again, I cannot say this.
I don't know.
You always make me smile. You always make me smile when you express the love that you have for people. You know, you're a rare commodity. And thank God for brothers like you, because you have to balance it off with brothers like me. You have to.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a good thing. That's
Amen.
A good thing, man. I mean, different gifts in men, the scripture says. You know, you have to be different gifts in men. It's important.
So on that
note, I guess we're done. I'm going to get myself cleaned up. I actually have a date today. I'm going to get out and get dressed and go out and mix it up a little bit.
All right. Well, then I'm going to dedicate this song to you and your date. Have a good date.
All right.
I'm going to marry you. That's the name of the song. Take care, Phoenix. Much love. God bless you.
You too, my brother.
It's a beautiful night. Looking for something dumb to do. Hey baby, I think I wanna marry you. Is it the look in your eyes, or is it this dancing juice?
Guys, so we're just now mixing it up. Had a great conversation with our boy Phoenix, and that was awesome. Phoenix, thank you, brother. Thank you for blessing us and being a part of Solar Records Radio. We appreciate you, man. And so I'm just having a good time here. 42 minutes left in the show, and here we go, just doing our thing. And I'm glad you guys are here hanging out with me. I hope you all is well with you and your families. My friends overseas, I know you are, guys are in the bed or on your way there, except I just got a phone call from Italy, and you guys are up having a good time. So, yeah, I do have to go to Italy, and I'm coming. I'm hoping I could go over there this summer. We'll see what happens. I know I got plans for the beginning of the summer and the end of the summer, and so the middle is kind of wide open, so I'm hoping I could get over there in July or, July, because August I'm going to Philly for this. Get a Philly cheesesteak, y'all. Anyway, well, guys, come on. Thanks so much for hanging out. We're going to keep this music going on Solar Records Radio. This hour is the hour of music. So we talked enough, dude. Lord, we were talking away. thanks to Phoenix. And so let's get this boat going here on Solar Records Radio with Mr. D-Train.
When your legs don't work like they used to before, and I can't sweep you off of your feet, will your mouth still remember the taste of my love? Will your eyes still smile from your cheek? Darling, I will be loving you till we're 70. Baby, my heart could still fall as hard at 23. And I'm thinking about how people fall in love in a serious way. Maybe just the touch of a hand. Well, me, I fall. Gone and my memory fades, and the crowds don't remember my name. When my hands don't play the strings the same way, I know you will still love me the same. could never grow. Oh, it's evergreen. Baby, your smile forever.
I'm
Yeah. Ain't no greater love than what we got. Y'all know I can sing. Y'all know I can sing. All the haters out there are getting upset because I'm singing. Come on, y'all. Y'all know I put it down. This is Ward to Help Us G for Solar Records Radio. I wish I could sing, but anyway, I hope you guys are good and everything is going well for you. We got about another 19 minutes left in the show, and that was my boy Richard Randolph's song, Richard from Dynasty. Rest in peace, Richard. I love you, man. That was his song, Ain't No Greater Love Than What You Got. Man, I love that song. And, wow, it's awesome. And so then, you know, I just want to say that, remember I was telling you guys about going out to, Italy. That was with Mimo, my brother Mimo and his band. I'm gonna hook up with those guys and we're gonna hang out. So, it was nice talking to you today, Mimo. I don't know if I had a chance to say that earlier. But anyway, I really appreciate your help and everything and look forward to hanging out with you and seeing you guys when we get there. I'm thinking July, you know, I'm thinking in July. So, all right. Well, anyway, guys, let me see. Before that, Ed Sheeran, and that was Thinking Out Loud. And then before that, it was my group, Dynasty. I Can Tell. That's our new single, Dynasty, I Can Tell. And then before that, that was D-Train, You're the Only One for Me. And so, You're the One for Me. And so, anyway, guys, so we just mixing it up and having a good time here on Solar Records Radio. I hope you guys are blessed and all is good. Don't forget, tomorrow is Indie Jazz Day. Steve Carrington will be on with us tomorrow. Oh, my goodness, can he play that sax? Lord, come and tune in tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Indie Jazz Day. So we're going to have a great interview tomorrow with my brother Steve. So come hang out, man. We really appreciate you very, very much. And thanks for being a part of Solar Records Radio. Don't forget, Indie Jazz Day is all about the good food, the good music, and good company and good conversation. So come on, guys. Kick it with me and Steve tomorrow as we chop it up on Solar Records Radio. All right, guys, so we're going to keep this music going. We got about another 17 minutes left in the show, and we do appreciate you very, very much. This is a brother from overseas. I enjoy working and interviewing with him. And this is Lucas on Solar Records Radio.
Crazy, this year is not real. I think I'm going to suddenly appear. Every time you are near, just like me, they long to be
close.
That's beautiful. And guys, it is time. And I appreciate you hanging out with us today here on Solar Records Radio. This is your boy, Wardell Potts Jr. God bless you and take care and have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your evening. Give a shout out to Julian. What's up, Julian? Just all my friends. I know that Greg is out doing his thing. Hey, Greg, much love to you and Phil out there. I hope you guys are good. I think we're turning the corner with COVID. I pray we are, so we can get back to hanging out. So, because I plan on going overseas, and I can't wait to get going again. And some of my friends are overseas right now. I think they just got on the plane to come back from Israel. So, safe travels to everyone. God bless you guys, and thanks again for being a part, the best part of Solar Records Radio. We appreciate you, and you take care. Thanks to Phoenix again for hanging out with us the earlier part of the show, and you guys take care. And just know this, that I want to be where you are.
Hold me like a poolside chair.